T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But more than anything, I want better execution.
That would be a change.
Are we clear on that?
Yes, damn it.
I want better f***ing execution.
I'm dealing with the signal 5 times, for God's sake.
Dale Arnold.
20 seconds, Nate. Hurry up, Nate. I'm running out of time. My life is running out of lifespan. So casual, like a house mouse.
Rich Keefe.
Home run, JBJ. Swing and a miss, it's over. Andrew Cashner saves it for the Red Sox.
Woo-wee!
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Okey-dokey-cokey.
Hell no.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
So a little inside radio for you boys and girls.
That's what, you just fought Fitzy in the crossover?
So we were sitting here shooting the breeze, as is often the case. I know the Fitzy fans don't believe this. We actually kind of like each other, and we're shooting the breeze. And so, you know, you're kind of tardy, getting stuff ready, and I plug the headphones in to slip them on at the exact moment that you got to say something. Greg Hill is more deaf than I am.
Oh,
and was like, oh, my God, how loud are these things?
Well, he needs to hear clearly.
No, listen, all of us who have spent our professional lives wearing headphones all have some hearing loss. All of us do.
Is that true?
Oh, God, yeah. Trust me. Huh? What'd you say? So
didn't know that.
So Greg's hearing is apparently even worse than mine, and my kids will tell you mine is awful.
I seriously didn't know that. Like, is that a fact? That broadcasters...
Think about it for a minute.
Well, I don't know how... If you don't have it loud, it should actually clarify everything, and you're hearing especially these modern-day noise-canceling fancy headphones.
Oh, they're very nice. And
so they're ruining my hearing.
Oh, absolutely. He'll be deaff as a door.
Good to know. So now when I ignore my wife, I'll just say, no, it's the industry.
Give that a whirl.
I've been doing this too long.
Tell me how that works out for you, if you would.
Not well.
So I was listening intently to the crossover, because they won't have me in anymore. So I heard, blood on the walls, so ugly and everything. So I heard you talking about this, because we had this discussion... By the way, what time does the 10 o'clock show start? Because you wouldn't shut up with those guys in there. You.
Well, I thought I was supposed to speak during the crossover.
How are you? And you'll be just like, yes, up to a point.
Aren't they bringing me in to speak?
Well, some.
What?
Well, they were bringing you in because they won't bring me in, but.
Oh, yeah. But I thought my job was chat with them, maybe create storylines that cross from show to the next.
We had this discussion in the office about this, and it is your contention that Rafael Devers sucks. And
excuse
it doesn't
me?
Matter what he does, because it doesn't matter if you're a loser, you're a loser, and that's all it. All right, you didn't say it exactly that way.
I really feel like that was taken out of context.
Do you think?
This is why Wiggy says everybody hates the media.
It is a classic case, has been happening for years in Major League Baseball. The best player in Major League Baseball is Mike Trout.
Yes.
And I've been saying for a while now, when his career is over, I think we're going to be saying the best player who ever lived. I actually think that's how good he is.
And I would like to add, I think he's one of those generational athletes.
Yes.
Anyone who's seen Mike Trout and doesn't go, boy, I bet you he could play linebacker or safety or run
power
the ball.
Forward right. or anything.
I mean, he's a freak.
So,
not quite Bo, but he's in that line.
So the fact that the Angels don't get in the playoffs, and when they did, they didn't do very well, I can't blame Mike Trout for that.
No.
I mean, he is otherworldly. And if the team doesn't have success, I can't say, well, what difference does it make? You know, it's not, you know, he doesn't help them win anything. Well, yeah, he helps them a lot.
He does, but, you know, I'll harken back to my long-winded crossover with the morning show.
Which went on forever.
I don't give out game balls to a kid who goes 4-for-4 in a loss in my Little League games. We lost. I only give out game balls if we win. If you didn't contribute to a win, then what's the point here? You had a nice night individually, kid. Good job. Love you. Mean it.
But you also...
What's the job here? To win.
No, I agree with the game ball thing that you just said, but you also wouldn't ignore the fact that the kid went 4-for-4.
No.
You'd say, hey, nice job. You know, you did a good job up there. You played hard. You had some. You wouldn't just knock it.
We did some nice things tonight. Certainly, some of us had some really nice nights. But in the end, we win and lose as a team. And tonight, we go home losers.
That's good. You would not be stealing signals at your little league games.
No,
because you're coaching the kids properly. But I look at what Rafael Devers did last night, and no one in the history of baseball from 1900 on has done what we watched him do last night. Go 6-for-6 in a game with 4 doubles. Now, it turns out that they were able to win the game. But if they had lost the game...
And they tried.
They did. Poor Brandon Workman. I said his arm was going to fall off by mid-August, and I'm
472nd blown save of the season.
Somewhere in that ballpark. So when I watch Devers do that, if they had lost, I'm not going to say, oh, what difference does it make? Well, he did everything he could do.
Right. Where are we?
Oh, I know where we are.
We're in Boston.
I know second place is no place.
First loser.
Yeah, I understand.
So it's great and all that he's putting up individual numbers, and they all are. Offensively, they're phenomenal. And it's great that Chris Sale had a bunch of Ks and became the fastest ever to a couple thousand Ks. Those are all phenomenal. And you know what Bill Belichick says about all those things? Do they have it ready?
The stats are for losers.
Yeah, nice job, boys. They are.
No, I understand completely. My point is simply, it also doesn't mean, well, what difference does it make? He sucks.
No. Where are you getting sucks from? Didn't say sucks.
No, you didn't.
It's fun to collect numbers, but in the end, when you're going through a miserable season with a $240 million payroll after you won the World Series, it's just kind of like, wah, wah, wah.
Well, and I'll give you an example. I've used this guy's numbers before because I think he's really good at it. Tucker Boynton is a sabermetrician for Barstool. And he broke down 122 games into the season. This was before last night. And he broke down 2018, a World Series championship team, as opposed to 2019, a wildly disappointing team. And things like home runs, this year they have more. Hits, this year they have more. RBIs, more. Batting average, better. OPS, better. All of the offensive numbers on this Red Sox team this year is better than the team that won the World Series a year ago. But that's the rub. If you look at the pitching numbers, ERA a year ago for the staff, 3.49. This year, 4.83. Home runs allowed a year ago, 123. This year, 168. Runs allowed a year ago, 454. This year, 638. This was going into last night. I'm not blaming anybody who's got a bat in their hand for the problems this team has. I'm blaming everybody, virtually everybody, who has to throw a baseball.
Sure.
And so if Devers goes out and has this otherworldly MVP caliber season, and he is, I'm not just going to downplay that. I'm going to appreciate what I'm seeing. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. And you're right. It doesn't help you win here. And it's obvious based on where this team is. But what I know is what I'm seeing is something we may have never seen before.
Right. Just like when you watch Russell Westbrook with triple doubles. That's great and all. What did it get him? In a place like Oklahoma City, maybe that flies, right? They haven't won a championship.
Right.
They're sort of off the beaten path of the sports world. People are even surprised he was there for a while, that the team stayed there, that the team moved there. That's great. That probably moves the needle. In Oklahoma City, sports talk radio, if there is such a thing, down there. But
there must be. But
here, I mean, you're competing with who? I believe Thomas Edward Brady is practicing these days. I believe the Patriots are preparing to defend their title. Are we going to do the same thing with the Patriots if they're 3-5 out the gate and say, well, you know, Brady's actually throwing the ball really well? I mean, I know they're losing games coming off a title. No, because it's just a different mindset here where it's win or you're a loser.
But to your point, it's a great example. If Brady's out there throwing up the same kind of offensive numbers he's always thrown up, and the defense sucks, I'm not going to downplay what he did because the defense. You go back to the famous game that should have been 19-0 and ended up 18-1. He drove his team down the field,
right?
Threw the touchdown pass to Randy Moss. That should have won the Super Bowl. Should have won his seventh Super Bowl. Should have completed the 19-0 season. He wasn't on the field when the Patriots gave that up. A couple of really fluky plays, but the defense was the squad, the half of the team that couldn't accomplish the fact.
Because the final scoreboard is all that matters. That was a team that was going to be anointed the greatest football team ever.
Yes.
Ever.
And now they're not.
And nothing, I mean, did a couple minutes change everything they had done? No. They had still scored whatever the number was, some ridiculous amount of touchdowns. And you still had 50 touchdown passes. And Moss with the and they were still averaging 30 whatever, 5 points a game and blowing people out. Nothing they accomplished changed. But the reality is, if you don't finish, it's for naught. You know, if I run the marathon and I'm, you know, 1 hour, 46 minutes, I'm a mile from the finish line and I never finish, what did I accomplish?
Yep.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So the numbers are great. The splits are great. The statistics are great. They're fun for some fans. Now, if baseball, I will say, if baseball were as popular in the fantasy realm as it used to be or as football is now, maybe that would even be looked at differently. Yeah, they're not great, but whew, Devers gave me a lot of points last night with that game or Sale strike, right. Whatever. But the reality is you're the defending champions that are. And by the way, I thought Lou had a nice tweet, too, comparing the Red Sox and Yankees pitching staffs. You know, the numbers are very similar for the starters. But what's different?
Bullpen.
Oh, the bullpen. And the Yankees are having a great year and yep. riding towards where maybe they are going where the Red Sox went a year ago. And the Red Sox are going to an early offseason. Although Ken Laird said they're right back on track. He said after last night, after blowing a save and then pulling out the win, that they're right back on track.
Because you had JBJ in the game-winning home run pool, right?
Yeah. Is he about to get on one of those little streaks he gets on where he's hot?
Probably not. Here's the whole thing about what we're watching and how we perceive it and all of those things, and especially when it concerns Devers. It's unbelievable what he's putting up.
Mm-hmm.
He also ran into three outs on the base paths. He also made another error, and, you know, he has improved defensively. He still is prone to making defensive lapses.
You mean a 22-year-old is getting better?
He's 22 years old.
Really? I said to you in the office, in 3 years, 5 years, whatever parameter you want to put on it, he will literally be better at everything he does. Brushing his teeth, driving his car,
now
talking to women.
Everything. He's better now than he was.
Right.
Even at the beginning of the year defensively. It's one of the things, because he's having such an otherworldly offensive season, we kind of ignore. And he is still going to make an error. He's still going to screw up a play. He is much better defensively than he was. And if you kind of assume and project that the improvement will continue, he's going to get better and better. He's 22 years
right.
old.
And he's going to be a guy that you're going to have to hand $300 million to at some
yep.
point. And he's also been a little bit of a product. People rave about, you know, the exit velocity on his hits. And I think he still leads the major league on the most hits that are above 98 miles an hour coming off the bat or some, you know, these new age statistics and things that we...
Stats are for losers.
Thank you, Bill. I agree, Bill. But Dale wants us to have a victory lap for Devers and Sale and...
I haven't mentioned Sale.
See that triple by Mookie to start the game?
Just for the
record.
Have
a party?
I haven't mentioned Sale's 2,000 strikeouts. Not
That's
once
impressive.
Yet.
Why not?
Because...
So you pick and choose which numbers are for winners?
No, I didn't even say that Devers' numbers were for winners. What I said was... If you go 6-for-6 with four doubles, you've kind of done your job, don't you think?
Oh, you're that's taking Bill's words.
That's
like
the
it.
Other phrase that Bill likes to throw out there. You know, that whole do your job thing?
We're only as strong as our weakest link, as my high school football coach. We're going to start quoting football coaches.
If you go 6-for-6 with four doubles and three runs batted in, you've kind of done your job.
I'll try not to make an error then next time. Did you?
Yes, you did.
Not a DH, Devers, right? You're not a DH. I hand you a glove half of the game. I tell you to go out there. I expect you to field the ball, throw the ball, make all the plays you're supposed to. Oh, you're 22? I don't care. You're a professional.
Except,
now you got me angry again.
Except that is totally unfair, that I don't care you're a professional. Because
Bill Belichick would say, you had four doubles, so I'll ignore the error.
Because 22-year-old Tom Brady's the same as 42-year-old Tom Brady, right?
He didn't make a lot of mistakes at 22 or 42.
Because they didn't let him do anything at 22.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about game management? 22-year-old Tom Brady was told, just don't screw it up.
I wasn't even playing at 22.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Yes. The guy 20 years ago, a totally different quarterback than he is now.
Correct.
I mean, in every single aspect of the game.
Right. Now he's trying to practice no look and left-handed throws, as he told the Greg Hill show earlier this week.
I'd like to think he might have been kidding about that. But
as I blogged yesterday, I'm intrigued to see it. And then I will instantly pan my camera to Bill Belichick's face Tom Brady does one of those things.
Somebody put out a GIF yesterday or a video on Twitter of Mahomes doing it again in practice. And I'm thinking, How many points would you have to be up in the fourth quarter before you'd think that's a good plan?
Well, he did you see
this was the behind the back pass that he was.
But did you see they also have these things. The Patriots have one in the inside bubble. It's a, like a net with like four or five holes in it for the quarterbacks to aim for the different holes.
Right.
He does that left handed. Like he spends practice time. Now, this is one of those things that I think is a legitimate philosophical athlete or coach question. Are you better served doing that for the one time you might do it in the late fourth quarter, blah, you know, blitz and the guy's got your right arm, whatever? Or would you be better served just getting incrementally better at, you know, your actual dominant hand and your right hand and doing it the way you're going to do it every play?
The latter, not the former.
I think Bill Belichick would probably agree with
that.
Yeah,
you are much better off incrementally improving the aspects of your game that you'll utilize on a daily basis.
What's more fun?
Well, that's the problem. Is Patrick Mahomes looking for what's more fun?
Is he a winner or is he an entertainer?
I don't know the answer.
Where do the two meet?
Well, he's not a winner yet because he hasn't won, right?
But athletes are entertainers. There is some aspect of their job that is entertainment. And, you know, doing those things help get him on the Madden cover. He's one of the, you know, more popular young players in the NFL. And it will probably help him, you know, in some level make whatever his endorsements are. I think he just signed on with some water company. Whatever. That's going to help him financially. And I also think it helps him have fun, right? You know, we can talk about it later. I tweeted out a thing about youth sports. Sports are still fun. Even Matt Light brought it up. You know, like preseason action, it's not all that fun for the hogs up front, be banging heads. But the quarterbacks and receivers are having fun out there. As long as they don't get hurt, you know, tear an ACL like Edelman in Detroit a couple years ago, they're having fun. They're going out with their buddies, throwing the football, beating other men, you know, in what they've done since they were 5 years old. So there's a level of fun involved and there's a level of entertainment. Then, of course, there's the level that is big business. Now we get back to you're supposed to win. You're supposed to do everything you can to make sure you win.
And is practicing a behind-the-back pass into the little holes in the net going to get you closer to being a winner? Is it,
as
you
said,
as you said, for the one time all year? The other thing Matt Light was talking about this morning on the Greg Hill Show, they practiced this tackle-eligible pass play to him. And practiced it literally for years. Never used it until Nate Solder caught one and pissed off
jealous?
Poor Matt. Oh, yeah, totally. He was so bitter. But the
point, it worked.
It worked. Now, if you're spending 5 minutes of practice time once a week on this tackle-eligible play to Matt Light, that's probably a reasonable apportionment of time that you've got. And especially in this day and age when your practice time is so limited and the things you can do. But if Patrick Mahomes is taking 5 minutes out of his day every day, throwing left-handed into this net or throwing behind his back, that's not a good...
What if it improves his attitude, improves his ability to show up and work hard and drive, and, you know, I'm having a little fun screwing around. We see Drew Brees and the Saints quarterbacks have
the
these little... competitions that they clearly enjoy at the end of practice.
But that's after practice.
And picture it, Super Bowl 58, Las Vegas, wherever the hell it is. End of the game, he's rolling to his left, and a guy's about to hit him, and there's a guy in the way, but there's a receiver wide open right over, and the only way he can... Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes! Good thing he practiced that. Why are you staring at me like you're not buying
it? Because I think it would be more likely that it would be the, you know, the behind-the-back intercepted 98 yards the other way for a touchdown.
Sometimes you gotta shoot a shot.
Yeah. And I would suggest Bill would not want you to shoot that shot, generally.
Oh, but I bet Bill would take it if it was a touchdown that won the Super Bowl and he had to change his boat name.
If that all happened, yes, I'm sure he would.
And then all the hard work had paid off.
It's like that, you know, in basketball when the kid's shooting the 35-footer and you're going, no. Oh, good shot.
Right. Well, I mean, that's become a thing. Somebody has it. Harden had a commercial where he did one of those voiceovers. They tell you not to take shots you'll never take in the game. And it shows him just... bombs from midcourt, taking jump shot threes, and then he's taking them in game. You know, the whole game is evolving with these young guys. Who's to say in 3 to 5 years quarterbacks aren't ambidextrous? And you drop back and you're like, I don't know which guy has he. Is he going to throw left? Is he going to throw right? What's he going to do? Greg Harris. Remember his glove that you could flip around?
Well, he was literally ambidextrous.
Well, maybe Patrick Mahomes is going to go that route. Wouldn't that screw you up as a defense? He's dropping back. Hey, what's he doing? Is he rolling left? Is he rolling right?
You know what?
Is he
I'm going to hit him right in the middle of the chest. It doesn't matter.
Well, you're not, because you wouldn't catch
him. Well, not me. I'm saying if I'm the defensive player, I don't care.
This gives you a lot to think about.
I'm
going to
hit him right in the middle of the chest and knock him on his butt.
Used to be a guy who was 5 to 8 feet behind the three-point line. You said, just leave him out there, right?
Yeah, let him go.
Curry's out there. What do? You better get a hand in his face because he's going to pull.
You'd like to think.
See? Changing game. Changing game, Dale. You got to catch up with the times like I have.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Nope.
Not even. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I didn't really want to stay up late to watch Hard Knocks last night, but it's like you get Shawshanked.
Yes.
I mean, you get Shawshanked. You start, even though you got the DVR rolling, you can't stop.
Can I ask you a simple question that we'll sure. tease and you can answer in the next segment?
Okay.
Big radio tease.
By the
here.
Way, could you teach that to Wiggy, maybe? Just give him a...
When you're driving your timeout hand through the other hand yeah. and he just ignores it. What you've seen from John Gruden over the last year plus, if you were a National Football League owner, would you hire John Gruden, a Super Bowl winning head coach, to run your football program?
We'll talk about it when we come back. 617-779-7937. We'll get your calls as well. But first...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Trending now.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
But more than anything, I want better execution. Are we clear on that? I want better f-ing execution. I want you to get a little bit pissed off. All right, not a lot of people expect very much from us. Do they? Do they? You've been reading about us? Not a lot of people expect enough from us. I'm tired, man. I'm tired of reading about it. It's time for you to stick your foot up somebody's ass, man. I'm looking for relentless, every situation strain. I want everybody to pick it up tonight because we're capable of being a great football team.
You forgot knock on wood if you're with me.
Let's pick on that.
That and you know, say hello to everybody here. Your second week of training camp. We did that the first week. I'm thinking, okay, first team meeting.
Right.
All right, I get it. You know, you got some new faces in the room. But now, 1 week's out of the way, and we're open up the second week. Say hi to everybody. And there's hugging and shaking hands. And, I mean, really?
So answer the question.
I would, well, first of all, I wouldn't hire him because I think the game's passed him by.
Yep.
Second of all, I sure as hell wouldn't give him $100 million for 10 years. I mean, I'm not sure how much Mark Davis can understand or grasp anyway.
Right.
But there is going to come a point where somebody in Oakland is going to say, Jesus, how much money are we going to have to pay this guy to move him on down the road?
If it isn't, I know Gruden has sort of downplayed the contract and denied that he has a 10-year, $100 million deal, and maybe that's not really the situation.
Because it's tough to look a guy in the face who you're battling over $100,000 for.
Right. And I've always said that. I think that's part of why Bill never wants his contract out there. He doesn't want players to know he's the highest paid coach in football when he's telling them, listen, we can't afford to make you the highest paid tackle in football. Well, why not? You're the highest paid coach. I also think, and, you know, they couldn't exactly get out of it. The cameras are bad for Gruden. He likes the camera. He loves to perform.
He plays to the camera.
I mean, you see that at the combine when he does his press conferences. He loves the attention. He loves to ham it up. And there are just people that do that. You know, Antonio Brown and, you know, some of these diva receivers. Well, he's a diva coach. He's the diva version of a head coach. So I don't think it's productive for those cameras to be there for his own purposes. But no one's going to tell him no. He runs.
Has anybody seen my friend Antonio Brown?
He's your friend now, huh? While his feet are circumcised? It's not exactly the mental image we need.
I'll give Hard Knocks credit. Not only did they not, you know, downplay the Antonio Brown story, they showed you everything. I mean, he said, you want to see him? I mean, those feet look worse than I thought they were going to look. You know, and they did the whole helmet thing. They didn't shuffle anything off to the side.
Well, I think you have to, or you totally just
yes.
devalue the product. By the way, did you see? I believe it's HBO is in talks with Alabama, three other major programs. They want to do basically Hard Knocks, the college version, which I think is different.
Well, it's totally
those aren't
different.
Professionals.
No.
I don't know how necessarily you signed up for that. And that feels a little different. Feels a little, what's the word they use? Exploitative.
Do you think? Now, my vision is that Nick Saban is basically Bill Belichick with a college program. And I don't picture Bill Belichick playing to the cameras the way we just watched for the second night John Gruden doing. I don't picture Nick Saban getting into that whole thing.
But
and when Nick Saban is telling the linebackers coach, we got to pull that scholarship from that kid. He sucks.
Right.
I don't think he's going to want that on national TV.
No, but I just made the little rub your fingers together symbol because that's what it all comes down to. And he has bosses just like everybody else. I always talk about everybody's got a boss. And if I'm paying Nick Saban $10 million a year and HBO is willing to pay us X that now basically subsidizes another wing to the locker room or whatever.
See, he's actually the one guy, one of the guys, who I think could tell Alabama, screw you, we're not doing it.
Yes.
And they'd say, okay, Nick, all right, sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry we bothered you.
Right. But my guess is if it got to this point, he's at least willing to listen, it sounds like, because he probably also knows that done properly, it just made recruiting that much easier. Not only does Alabama already get basically whoever they want, now I'm making you a TV star for this, number. The receiver wears number one in high school and likes being the number one recruit in America, goes, I'm immediately going to be on HBO and all my friends and family and my Twitter followers and my Instagram followers.
Although, let's be honest, Alabama's a selector school anyway.
Sure.
They don't recruit kids. They select kids.
No question.
I want you. I want you. And I want you. Yes, sir.
Yes. But he could see value in it. He could certainly see value in it and think, Bill's thing, is it in the best interest of the football team? And if there's more pros than cons?
Yeah.
Be fun to watch. I think it's a little exploitative. I'm not sure I really agree with it on the... that sense, but just the biggest thing that I have taken away of the last few hours as a guy who makes his first career following the Patriots, you start to look at other teams and go, it's another season where it just seems to be the Raiders are the Raiders. Antonio Brown is Antonio Brown. Now,
I just compared the two teams that were practicing together last night.
Right.
And I'm going, the Rams look a lot more professional than...
Yeah, they are the Super Bowl team from the NFC. But yes, that is fair. And a younger coach.
And Sean McVay is younger than Gruden.
But he is now in the here and the now, whereas Gruden, people were getting on his bus and they were doing production meetings, but he's been out of the league for a long time. I know the fired football coaches and he got up at 2 a.m. and watched film and all that, but feels a little bit like the game has changed and he's not quite up to speed with it. But how about the Colts? That's a team where I said, maybe they're a contender. Their defense is getting better. Andrew Luck looked great last year. And then Andrew Luck has a calf injury.
Which might actually be a bone injury in his ankle.
High ankle, bone. Like, it's changing. How does that happen? Like, he's getting, theoretically, he is a $100 million quarterback. So whatever doctor they need to have look at him, they have look at him, correct?
Yes.
With every scan known to man. There's no, my health insurance doesn't cover that, so we're not going to get that scan.
No, we got you covered.
And they don't know what the injury is after he's missed all of training camp except for three sessions. And this goes back to the spring. He wasn't in OTAs. What is very shady? Smells funny.
And I'll give you an example even from last night. The whole thing with Max Crosby bothered me. Now, this is a rookie trying to make he's going to make the team or was maybe after last night. Who knows? He's got to get up and sing in front of his teammates. Yep. Okay, fine. That's all good. So he breaks his hand. Now, I understand the player completely. He's thinking, I can't be off the field. I got to show them I can do this. I got to show them I can play through this. They take him off into the locker room. They show the doctor saying, yeah, it's broken. Okay, put a cast on it so I can go back out for a preseason game against the Rams.
Yeah, that's the competitor in him.
No, the kid I understand completely. I got no issues with Max Crosby. I got real issues with a trainer or a doctor who says, let's stick a cast on him, get him back out there. And then post-game, you see him talking to Mike Mayock saying, now they say they got to put a plate in it. It's going to be 4 to 6 weeks. Why are we putting a cast on him to get him back out there for preseason snaps against the Rams?
Right. The doctor part, I question. But the trainer, to me, he sympathizes with the player. He's with him all the time. He tapes his ankles. He's been with him from day one since he arrived. OTAs, workouts. He knows how hard the kid works. He knows the reality of the NFL because it's his sixth year in the NFL, and he's seen guys that one injury and all of a sudden their opportunity gets passed by and Wally pipped and they're gone. I can see a trainer being like, maybe I can make something for him, get him out there, help this kid prove A, what he has, but B, hold on to a roster spot and the money. I could see that. The doctor, to me, has to be black and white. Can you or can't you?
to me, it's even simpler than that. The bone is broken. We got to do some further imaging. They didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
And, yeah, we'll slap a cast on it, get back out there. The doctor was totally negligent, I thought.
But don't your hockey players do that on occasion?
Oh, not in preseason.
He's
they
a
don't.
Hockey player. He's
not,
tough. He's back out there.
Not in a September
game. Got a
broken
leg. Again. Finish the shift.
Yeah, no. Look, if this was a regular season game, even more dramatically, if it's a playoff game, we applaud him. And again, I don't have any issues with Crosby anyway. He's doing what players
right.
do. I'm good. Get a cast on it. Get me back out there. I like it. And if I'm Gruden, I like it. If I'm a doctor, I'm saying, oh, wait a minute.
Or if you're his mother, his wife, or...
Well, the girlfriend who was sitting in the stands, she was just happy he was coming back out on the field. Now, right. she doesn't know what's going on.
Or does she?
Well, maybe
looking
at that
for a paycheck.
Point. So there was a big part of last night. Now, like most teams, they're not going to use Derek Carr in the first preseason game, and they don't. He's standing on the sidelines like Tom Brady was. But Brady was in uniform, by the way.
Oh, that's have you noticed that's a big thing with Patriots fans and the difference between the Patriots dressing everybody and other teams not dressing and the hats and, you know, they in street clothes, are they focused and the engagement. People have some have proposed that's why they win, things like that. I'm not sure I necessarily buy that, but.
So the big competition, quote unquote, at quarterback is not for the starting position. It's like here. It's between Matt Glennon and Nathan Peterman. And who's going to be the backup quarterback? To Derek Carr, Mike Glennon and Nathan Peterman. And so here's John Gruden coaching up the backup quarterbacks.
Quit being so introverted, man. Put some pressure on them. You're just too nice. It's just too, dice left, you're right.
Gotcha.
No, I mean, come on, be a little bit more like me. Be a little bit of a jerk.
Yep.
There's got to be something in there that pisses you off.
Like you hitting me in the chest?
Please stop. He did sound kind of weak, even in the response to the request to be a little more.
Okay.
And I've always believed to be a great leader, you have to have some a-hole in you. There, you can't be a nice guy and be a great leader.
Although Derek Carr seems to be as nice a guy as there is on the planet.
And is he a great leader?
I don't know the answer to that question. No, I'm saying if I'm Gruden, I'd be more worried about the attitude of my starting quarterback than I am about the attitude of the backup who I hope I never see in a game.
Right. But, you know, I've seen too many guys come through New England, Willie McGinnis and Vince Wilfork's and some of the great leaders of this team. Good guys. I'm not saying they're total.
No, great guys.
But there's a little a-hole streak. They're not afraid to let you know what they need to let you know. They're not going to tiptoe or be timid. And certainly with your quarter, that's been one of the stories of Gruden's career. You know, you read these things about him as he's never found. He's always been the a-hole, the leader, the personality. And since Rich Gannon, basically. That once Rich Gannon left, he hasn't had a quarterback that was the guy. Like, you knew this is the guy, leader, huddle, this my huddle. You know, Tom Brady, I don't know if it makes him an a-hole, but the whole story of walking up to Mr. Kraft and saying, I'm the best decision you ever made.
Which I always think has been embellished over the years.
It has.
I don't picture the sixth round draft pick saying that to the owner of the team, but maybe he did.
But he was also right.
Oh, no, if he said it, he was right. But
you think it's revisionist history?
Maybe a
little.
Can
you play along a little?
Jesus. Do you actually believe that the sixth-round pick walked up to the owner of the team and said, I'm the best decision you ever made?
And I believe Edelman did the same thing at Kent State. I'm here to take your job or something when he arrived from junior college.
I could picture him doing it.
Oh, so you think he's an a-hole and Brady's not.
So what's Doss's first name, the wide receiver? The kid who's trying to make the team. Keelan Doss. For some reason, John Gruden loves him some Keelan Doss. And, you know, it's kind of a great story from Alameda and, you know, local kid going to bring all of his family in to see the preseason game and everything. But John Gruden loves him some Keelan Doss.
I meant to ask you on was the pressure yesterday?
What do you think?
I think just be cutting out of it.
Yeah. Too much, you know.
Too much trying to go.
Yeah, too much Cal Davis. We overthink things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You guys, open mind, free thinker, bullshit. Get out of the thing, man.
Put your foot in the ground.
Yeah, you know. Hey, 2 days in a row, though, man. I mean, big time contested catches.
I dropped that easy over there, man.
You know, you made a great catch in the post yesterday in the red zone. Carl Joseph beating on you. Great catch against LaMarcus Joyner. If you can beat those guys or stand in there against those guys, that ought to give you a lot of confidence. Hey, you're doing great, man. Keep it going.
I kind of like that, by the way. The coach is praising you, picking out great day to contest it. I dropped that easy one.
See, I would actually have preferred the coach say, listen, you're doing some nice things out here, but you can't be dropping balls
right.
here.
But that's
you
got
to hold on to that.
From Doss's perspective, I think it's a little like when we talked about Jakobi Meyers, and I said not only was he good in the game, but I thought he said all the right things. And really, I think from Doss's perspective, his ability to say, yeah, I did, I made those catches, but I'm not just going to let you pat me on the back. I'm going to tell you what I think I need to do better if I want to go where I want to go. But I do like these football coaches. Don't think too much. Take the cal out of you. No free thinking. Just play football.
I always do this, and I'm probably wrong. Maybe that exact conversation takes place on a Patriots practice field where some undrafted free agent wide receiver trying to make the team is up. What do you see on that Z route, Bill? What should I picture that conversation going on with Troy Brown or Joe Judge, not with Bill Belichick. Maybe it does happen.
No, I'm sure it happens. The way Bill, you never know where he's going to be. Like, we talked about the first day when he was spending time with the quarterbacks and offensive side of the ball, which is a little counterintuitive. It's the first day of camp with a whole new defensive staff. You'd figure, oh, he's going to have to really help those guys, make sure all the ducks are in order and all that. And you just never know when he's going to be next to Joe Cardona. And, you know, showing him the ball rotation was a half a degree off on that right. last one. Because that's what he does. He coaches everybody at all times. And the players love it when you're Chase Winovich and all of a sudden Bill's coming to you after that last pass rush rep and
literally
down.
Going through hand
right.
placement.
Yeah, your right hand, if it had been, you know, 6 inches to the left instead of outside his shoulder pad, you own him and you would have had the corner and you would have had a sack and those types of things. So I do think it happens on occasion. Now, the difference would be, I don't think John Gruden would ever have that conversation with a defensive player.
Only
John Gruden is
guys.
Only on offense, whereas yeah. Bill will have it in all three phases. His kicker, his long snapper, his safety, his wide receiver, his center. He's bouncing all around. And by the way, if you're the young guy, there's a little bit of, if you see Bill coming, maybe go in the other direction. Because
yeah.
if you don't have the answer, that's a step back
yeah,
in your
don't ask him a question you don't already have the answer
yeah,
to.
No.
So, based on two episodes, and totally unfair, I understand that, but that's what we do. Based on two episodes, do you think John Gruden's got a grasp on what to do here?
I don't really.
It doesn't feel that way.
I don't, but I've never been a Gruden guy. I think he's always been one of the most overrated entities in all of football. He went to Tampa and won with Tony Dungy's team.
Right.
Now, I know he built Oakland the first time.
And
that was
Sean
him.
McVay on his staff looking like he was 12.
Right. And pretty much was.
He was, yeah.
He was a head coach. But I've just never understood the allure because every offseason forever, it was, where's John Gruden going? Which pro? Oh, no, he's going to go to Notre Dame. Oh, he's going to Tennessee. You know, pay him all this money. For what? What's he ever done except one with Tony Dungy's team? And then it fell apart. They had to can him, right? He could never. He's thought of as an offensive guru and a quarterback's guy, except who are the offensive guys that he's created? You know, he won with Brad Johnson and a defensive team in Tampa. So once you get past Rich Gannon, who, yes, he sort of rekindled his career late in Oakland and the Snow Bowl and the Patriots and all that, when's he ever shown that he can really just take absolutely anything and turn it into offensive success? He hasn't. And I don't think David Carr is a... It's Derek.
Derek.
I do that all the time, I bet.
I mess up first names all the
I'll
time.
I'll take a lap later. But when has Carr ever proven like he's the go-to guy? This is going to work. So I don't buy it. I'm not buying. Oh, I'm selling. Hard sell.
617-779-7937. We'll get right to the calls with you guys coming up next. It's Dale and Keith. Andy Hart's in for Rich today. Sports Radio WEEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. There are a couple of examples that we came up with just off the top of our head where Hard Knocks did not necessarily do some individuals any favors. Hugh Jackson, when you watched him as the head coach of the Cleveland Browns on Hard Knocks, you went, this guy has no chance.
And I was right.
Oh, I mean, it had no chance.
Nope.
And Joe Philbin with the Dolphins, you felt the exact same thing. You watched the Dolphins on Hard Knocks. You watched how Philbin ran the program, and you went, oh, my God.
And you kind of felt bad for both. That their inabilities or their, you know, the Peter principle, you know, you ascend to a position upon which you fail was being broadcast for the whole world to watch. And I wonder, because, you know, you hear now Hugh Jackson said it, that they have final say. They go in and they watch the episode and basically can pull whatever they need to pull they don't want. And when they watch it, how do they feel? Like, didn't any instinct in them or their Bears Nigerian say, Coach, is this really how you want to be portrayed? I can't even envision that.
Like if Gruden sat there and watched Hard Knocks last night.
I bet he loved it.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Philbin and Jackson, when they watched Hard Knocks, went, nailed it?
No. I don't know. How'd they let it out there? How'd they let me watch it all? Why didn't they fix it? There had to have been, I mean, they're rolling on a full week, right? And they only need to come up with an hour. So there's plenty of filler footage. Can we pull out from 1432 to 1542 or whatever and just put some highlights in there?
Does he get to pre-see it?
Yeah, that's what they say. They claim Hugh Jackson was the one that you go in and you see it before it airs. I would ask for some heavy edits. They can do anything. Make me look better.
Could you take me out of all of these?
Right. No. Make that Belichick guy up in New England that everybody seems to respect, can you make me look like him?
Make me look and sound just like him.
Exactly.
Get the f*** going, Nate. Let's go.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Framingham. Hey, Mike.
Hey, you know, and you were talking earlier about they might do a Hard Knocks for Alabama. It might be like, what's it called? With the kids. Having a senior moment here.
Exploitative?
They had one with... exploiting the kids. They had MTV had one with high school kids. It was called Two Days, and it was a Alabama team. They actually played a young Tim Tebow team from Florida, and then other ones that are like youth football. Just like Hard Knocks, Friday Night Tights, and Snoop Dogg has one.
Yep.
You'd be surprised at how these guys talk to the kids.
No, I wouldn't. No, unfortunately, unfortunately, Mike, I wouldn't be surprised. But you're right. If you're talking about NFL players, okay, you know, it kind of goes with the territory. Even if I give you college, and I agree with you, you're exploiting the kids even more than they're already being exploited. When you start to deal with high school kids, or worse yet, youth sports kids,
but what if
it's just pretty much an ego trip for the adults at that point?
But the flip side is I could almost talk myself into those because in this day and age of finances, if I can finance my team and all of a sudden, you know, all my kids have new shoulder pads, new helmets, new equipment, new blocking sled, new whatever they need.
Yeah.
Because Alabama doesn't need the money. They're doing
no,
just fine.
No, they'll be fine.
But some high school team or some youth program, yeah. Are we exploiting them? Yeah. Are they going to be put on camera maybe in some tough situations? But does it benefit them and do the pros outweigh the cons? I think that's a conversation you'd have to have with your, you know, local director or your athletic director.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.